during the festive season, I guess people start reevaluating things and wondering whether things are going right, or maybe they've had a bit of a tricky season with things that they've been doing. What sort of the common mistakes people make in their relationship during the festive season?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure for people around Christmas time. And when we are pressured, we tend to trigger a lot more easily. So we get more stressed out, we get more frustrated. And then, of course, we tend to take that out on the people closest to us, which can be our friends, our family and our partners. So that's really what can happen. So obviously we just need to work out how to get our needs met around that time.
Yeah, and do you find that people get closer during this period or can get further apart?
Yeah, look, I think that it is obviously a time for celebration, and I think it's really a choice. Like, are you going to choose to buy into the whole let's get stressed out and crazy, or are we going to take this time to express gratitude and stop for a minute and be in the moment and be in that space of being grateful for being around our friends and family and for being with our partners? If we're able to. I mean, a lot of people, they might not have their friends and family around, but still we can still be in that place of gratitude.
Mm. And what are the sort of things that happen when your relationships are not working as well as it could? Is there certain signs that you should be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. So what tends to happen when people get together, there's that honeymoon period, and it's that those happy chemicals are at an all-time high. And they can last up to about 18 months. So once they wear off, that's when reality starts to set in. And people start to find that they do get a little bit triggered more easily, and they do go into blame. Because we have these love tanks. And when those love tanks get a bit low, then we start to try and get our needs met. And sometimes that is from another person. And when they don't get met, that's when we go into blame. And then we start to, we might go into having our boundaries crossed and people pleasing. And all those things can be playing out. And so we have to look at how we can start managing that and how we can start building our love tank up.
Yeah, because, I mean, often, you know, someone in a relationship thinks, oh, everything's fine and so forth. And, my partner's been a bit irritated lately and has been telling me off about putting my feet in the lounge or something. And you know, they're the sort of signs that perhaps something's not quite right, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a change.
Totally. Like, it's interesting because I noticed in my in a lot of my one-on-one sessions, they come in and it's always about, you know, what the other person is doing and these are why they're getting so frustrated by the littlest things, and it's not even the big things. And it's all about, I say, you know, I really say, it's like, okay, we have to look at your relationship with yourself first, because people start putting their relationship with the other person first, and they sacrifice their own wants and needs. So it's about taking it back to you, and what do you need and what do you want and how are you going to meet your own needs first? And because people, they get into relationships and they have this belief that that person is, you know, there to complete them, and that they must then end up, you know, becoming one, and they kind of forget about themselves. So it's kind of like you have to take that step back, really. So it's all those little things start to annoy you that you didn't even notice when you first got together.
And of course, yeah. You also have to keep things new, interesting, and fresh, don't you? And I just noticed that one of the things that you talk about in some of your courses and work with couples is tantric sex. Now, that sounds really, really quite exciting. Give us a bit of a lowdown on what that really is.
Yeah, so tantra, it can be a lot of things to different people. There seems to be a lot of assumption around it. And tantra really, for me personally, is about connection, and it's about being in a space of, it's being in your heart space and connecting through that space, slowing things down, taking the goal out of it. So it's a chance to get really vulnerable with someone, and because you really have to go into a deep place where you have to express your deepest fears, your deepest desires, and slowing things down really brings up a lot of vulnerability. But that's where the connection is. Connection, like vulnerability, is where you will find your deepest connection, where you can really open up to someone and tell them like your deepest, darkest fears and secrets, and also your deepest loves as well. So.
So yeah, it's really a path to intimacy, isn't it, for a lot of people?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Tantra is a beautiful place, and there's lots of different types of Tantra. So, you know, there's some that can be non-sexual, and there is, you know, everyone kind of assumes that Tantra is all about sex, where it's only maybe about 10% of it. So it's all about that, you know, intimacy and connection with self first and then connection with another.
Yeah. And what do you think what are the common things that people could do to improve their relationship or improve themselves in the way that they are, I guess, lifting the load in the relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. So really, I think acknowledgement and appreciation on a daily basis is super important, because we get so busy with life that we forget that, you know, just because we're in this relationship doesn't mean that we can just be like, oh yeah, I'm in this relationship now and then I'm just going to keep doing the rest of my life. It's like, no, you have to keep working on it. So you have to acknowledge and appreciate your partner daily and just find ways to do that, you know, whether it's through words, whether it's through touch, or it's through spending that, making that time for each other. It depends, you know, we all have different love languages. And what I also suggest is to make a time once a week where you sit together and you do a thing called what else. And you sit and one person just talks and lets out everything that's going on for them, particularly in regard to the partner, you know, that's frustrating them, that's stressing them out. And the other person is not allowed to react or say anything. And the only thing they're allowed to say is what else. And it's a really beautiful exercise.
That's a good idea.
Because, yeah, you're not allowed to make it mean anything about yourself or go into blame or defense. Because it's just about the other person getting heard, and the other person is just to kind of get their reality. Yeah.
Wow. And look, it must be very interesting being a love priestess. How did you get into becoming this high priestess of love?
Well, I think I was born for it, because my last name is Love.
Yeah.
So yeah, people are like, is that your real last name? And I'm like, yes, it actually is. So I think for me, it's been a journey of my own self-love first, and then looking at all the ways I was showing up in my relationships. And then I've, you know, been in like all sorts of different types of relationships, and I've been in toxic relationships, and I've had to do a lot of healing around that to be where I am now, and through my own experiences and journey. And then it's through also doing the tantric practices and doing what are called embodiment practices. So embodiment means really living from that space and applying everything that I know and embodying love and being showing up in the world as love and, you know, self-love and giving that, holding space for others and showing up in that way that is seeing everything as love and everything is, you know, beautiful. So it's been an incredible journey, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, look, I'm really glad to have you on the program sharing the love today with us on the daily, EJ. Appreciate you coming on.